Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sake Revolution. If you heard that this was America's first sake podcast, you heard right. Also, if you heard that I am one of your hosts, John Puma from the Sake Notes, you would also be correct. I am the administrator over at the Internet Sake Discord, and no Sake Revolution podcast would be complete without my amazing co-host.
And I am your co-host, Timothy Sullivan. I am a sake samurai, sake educator, as well as the founder of the Urban Sake website. And every week, John and I will be here tasting and chatting about all things sake and doing our best to make it fun and easy to understand.
Mm-hmm. Tim, I'm a little excited about today's episode.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, we say we want to make it fun and easy to understand. And today is all about understanding.
Yes, literally understanding.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be about being fun. I think it's going to be very fun explaining all of this. I do want to get right to it. So let's tell the good people what they're going to learn today.
Well, I want to preface this just by saying you and I have both made several trips to Japan.
Yes.
And over the times we've gone, we've learned a little bit of Japanese language here and there, and you and I have both experienced that when you speak a little bit of Japanese or know certain words, it makes your experience go that much smoother. So we thought it would be a great idea to share with our listeners some of the Japanese words and phrases that we've used to unlock the key to enjoying sake in Japan. So survival Japanese language for sake. What do you think?
I like it. And it's honestly, it's something I kind of wish I had when
totally.
I was going through all of that.
Totally.
Through all of that.
Yeah. This would have helped me a lot. So with that in mind, we're actually going to write up all of our suggestions and put them on a survival Japanese for sake cheat sheet PDF, which you can download at sakerevolution.com. So be sure to check that out.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. And eventually, when we're all allowed to go to Japan, useful. In the meantime, you guys just study up. Study up on it. It's going to come in handy one day.
Absolutely.
So cutting directly to the chase, though, what is our first magic word?
I think if you go to Japan, you have to know this word, sake or no sake.
Yeah.
And this word is onegai shimasu. Which is a mouthful for the first word. We're not starting with the easiest word.
No, not at all. Not from a Western pronunciation standpoint, for sure. It's a word you're going to hear a lot.
Yeah.
And so get used to saying it. You're going to hear it a lot. So kind of take some of that in, learn the pronunciation, practice a little bit. Onegai shimasu. Yes. And so what exactly are we expressing when we say that?
Well, it kind of means please. Like if you ask for something, you want to tack onegai shimasu on the end of it. If you ask for something pretty much in any business situation or customer situation, you want to keep things polite, and adding this word please on the end is pretty much a must. If you don't have onegai shimasu, it sounds like you're kind of demanding.
It's a bad look. Yeah, it's a bad look. And I think like in the past, we've talked about how like when you're going to another country, you're a guest, you want to represent yourself the best way you can. And so putting that extra bit of courtesy, even when you're not sure, it's the right thing.
Yeah, it's a really important word, onegai shimasu. And John, I think we also have to say that we should acknowledge you and I are not language experts.
Oh, no.
No.
I've tried. I'm very bad.
I'm too.
I'm awful.
Yes.
I have no language acumen, unfortunately. Yeah. I rely on my shell for the language stuff. But even for people who have no language acumen, like Tim and I, these work. You just got to say it with a little gusto and you'll be all set.
Just got to go for it. But for our listeners out there who are Japanese speakers or live in Japan and are super fluent, please pardon any slight mispronunciations. we're doing our best and our heart's in the right place, right, John?
Our hearts are definitely in the right place. And I think they're asking for that, going for that apology in advance, the right move. Anyway,
onegashimasu.
So that word's very broad usage. You want to use that kind of in most situations.
Yeah.
It's just really polite and it'll be taken more seriously.
Yeah. So John, what's our second must know magic word?
This is the magicest word for me. This was the game changer. This was, you know, we were going to Japan a bunch, and once we did this, it changed the experience of going to an izakaya or a sake bar. And that is osusume. Osusume. And osusume. That is recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, osusume onegaishimasu. Recommendation, please. And usually...
I'm learning already.
Yeah, look at this. You know, usually if you're in a place and you're saying, like, you know, if it's understood that you're asking for recommendations about sake, generally speaking, staff at a lot of these establishments really like to help people out with that. They want to give their opinions. They want to help you explore sake, I think. Has that been your experience as well, Tim?
Yeah, I've relied on osusume a lot. You can use it for food and sake, which is great.
Yeah.
So it saying osusume onegaishimasu really, if you sit down at a sake bar, you can't read the menu, you don't know which bottles are behind the bar, that is a great way to get the conversation started, and they'll show you a couple options and you can just pick one and get the ball rolling. And it's a great way to start out.
Mm-hmm. Now, while we're here at the beginning, it's a very real possibility that when you're asking for sake, you could get the literal sake. It's very broad. Sake in Japanese just means alcohol.
Right.
It does not necessarily mean the multiple parallel fermentation rice-based beverage that we are trying to get.
Right.
That is nihonshu.
Right.
Tim, have you ever had any situations where not specifying nihonshu has led to confusion and or tragedy?
No, I never
Good.
Have. It's really important for people visiting Japan to know that what we call sake in Japan, if you say that word, it means alcohol in general, as you just said.
Mm.
And the word you want to use if you want the rice-based fermented beverage is nihonshu, right? I would say it's a pitfall, but they're probably going to assume you mean nihonshu. Nihonshu onegaishimasu is A+. That's the key phrase you want to memorize.
Yeah, the phrase that pays.
Yes. Nihonshu onegaishimasu.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what else do we have, Tim? What other survival words do we need?
Well, I would say that's survival Japanese 1.0. If you want to move to 2.0, you can describe a little bit of the flavors that you like. So maybe we should talk about some of the flavor and aroma profile words that you can use, just a handful of them, to give the person selecting your sake a general idea of what you might like. So what do you think, John, is the most common descriptor for sake?
Oh, that's interesting. The most common. The one that permeated my brain first was actually a karakuchi. It was like the first thing that I remembered, I guess, or was able to really kind of like, oh, okay. And that is dry sake, or describing dry.
Karakuchi. That is probably, if you like dry sake, you have to know that word.
I'm pretty sure that we've talked about that on the show before when we brought on sake that had like karakuchi in the name of it.
Yes.
And we briefly explained that not only, yes, this means dry, but also if the sake says karakuchi on the label, it is going to be very karakuchi.
Yes.
It's going to be quite dry.
Yeah. And I want to introduce one variation on karakuchi. There's a type of karakuchi from Niigata Prefecture, and this is a phrase I heard all the time in Niigata, which is Tanrei Karakuchi. Tanrei kind of means clean or beautiful, and Karakuchi means dry. So the way I often translate Tanrei Karakuchi is kind of crisp, clean, and dry. It's the way that Niigata brewers describe their regional style of sake, light, clean, and crisp.
So that might be an exception to the intensely dry general rule that we might encounter otherwise.
Yeah. And, you know, if you like lightly dry sake and not super dry sake, saying Tanrei Karakuchi is a great option to get a sake that's lightly on the dry side and, you know, going to be a little crisp and clean. And it's served me very well when I've been ordering sake in sake bars. So there's another kuchi. There's another kuchi.
What's the other kuchi, Tim?
There's another kuchi. There's amakuchi.
Amakuchi.
That means sweet.
Yeah, I think that when I was first getting my eyes and ears on some survival words for the izakayas, we had it explained as like a amai and kurai, as like dry and sweet concepts, but not, yes. I didn't understand the kuchi part right away. So I was kuchiless.
Yes. So kuchi means mouth. So it's referring very specifically to kind of flavor. So amakuchi means a sweeter flavor, and karakuchi is a drier flavor. So if you are a lover of sweet sake, you can say amakuchi.
All right. So we've got our kuchis.
Yep.
All out of the way. Our mouth taste. Just now I realized, like, I do know the word for mouth and that it is kuchi, and I never put two and two together that karakuchi had anything to do with mouth. And even after you told me, I'm just like, wait a minute. It just clicked in my head moments ago. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Your Japanese teacher is going to be thrilled.
Oh, I'm currently without a Japanese teacher. I'm taking a hiatus.
Okay. Well, there's another flavor word that most people probably know already. We mention this word all the time on the podcast, and it begins with a U. Can you guess what I'm thinking?
Umami.
Umami, that's right. Yes. So umami is that savory, meaty flavor. Think shiitake mushrooms, soy sauce, miso, Parmesan cheese, that kind of savoriness in food and drink. And sake has more umami than you'll ever find in wine or beer. So this, if you like savory, rich, more earthy sakes, then you're going to want to know this word umami.
Right.
And then, John, you had one more as well.
Yeah, this one was a big deal for me. I was once at a bar, and as I was kind of going through, you know, different sips of different sakes and expressing how I was feeling about them, at one point the bartender, who spoke very good English, was like, hey, you know, if you want to ask for this style in Japanese, you want to say mariyaka. And I was like, oh, okay. And apparently mariyaka means like round, or in I guess a little bit more in a Western concept, smooth. So, and that is, I love really smooth sake. I like really smooth scotches too. So this pans out. And I have, you know, occasionally will use that over in Japan as well. And it really gets the point across that you want something that's, you know, very, very smooth, clean drinking sake, which is right up my alley. That's mariyaka. That's my couch sake.
Maroyaka. Okay. Sometimes when I heard that word, I would also think mellow. Do you think
I'm all right with that? I like it. Yeah, it's great. Sure.
Okay. So we've got karakuchi, amakuchi, umami, and maroyaka.
Yeah.
All right. Now, another thing that when I learned to say this was a big game changer for me was the word ski. And it sounds like you're saying like downhill ski. Like it sounds like S-K-I.
Yes.
But it's spelled T-S-U-K-I, ski. And this means to like. And you can take these flavor words we just talked about and add tsuki to it. And then you can basically be saying, I like dry. I like sweet. I like umami. I like mellow, round. So this word tsuki, and it's easy to remember because I always think of people loving the ski slopes. And it's a way that I remember this word tsuki. So you can say karakuchi tsuki, amakuchi tsuki, umami tsuki.
And that's going to get the point across. They're going to understand what you're saying.
It's not perfect.
No, but it works. That's my John Puma School of Japanese. Yeah, it's not perfect, but it works.
Yes. Yeah. The bar that we're reaching here is, will the bartender understand me?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So, and as you're drinking, it becomes difficult to remember the particles. You just, you know, got to get it out there. As
particles can take a back seat for this lesson.
Yes, that's will be our 102 episode next time.
Yes.
Now, I have found that when I have a sake that I enjoy, I often want to know where it's from.
Mm.
And so I learned doko no ken, which prefecture? Where is this prefecture?
Yeah.
And it's understood that, you know, you want to know where the sake is from, what prefecture the sake is from, and you're going to find out. And that is a really good way for you to learn about your prefectural leanings sometimes when you're overseas. You can't always just pick up the bottle and look at the back like you can do in the United States.
Right. So you can ask with that phrase, which prefecture is this from? And it's a way to connect with the bartender, even though your language skills might be limited, being able to ask a question and understand if they say Yamaguchi or Hokkaido, you know, that's just a great little way to connect.
Mm.
And you can also use the prefecture name Nihonshu and ski together.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say Hokkaido Nihonshu ski. It's not grammatically 100% correct, but mm-hmm. if you want to say this prefecture, Nihonshu, which means sake, and then ski, our magic skiing word I like, you can get across that you like sake from this XYZ prefecture. And I've found that has been a great conversation starter with a bartender as well. Like, I love Fukuoka sake. And they'll see what they have from that prefecture, and it gives you a wonderful way to start the interaction.
Ah, look at this. We're making full sentences.
Yeah, we got building blocks here.
Yeah. All right. What do we have next?
Well, I happen to know that my co-host is a big fan of fruity sakes.
He is.
That is a profile we cover very often. That is a well-worn path on our podcast, fruity sake. So I thought it might be important to teach people how to say fruity. And the Japanese word that is most often used, it's a borrowed word from English.
Mm-hmm.
They basically take the word fruity and they pronounce it with Japanese rules and they get fruity. Fruity, if you pronounce it a little bit in this way, you can get the point across that you like fruity. Fruity ski. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely works.
Yeah. So a couple other phrases that when you're ordering sake are really important beyond just the flavor or the prefecture. They're very often going to ask you what volume of sake do you want? You know, if you ask for a glass of wine here, you don't need to tell them that much about what size you want.
No.
But in Japan, they have a volume measurement of the go. I think we've talked about this in the past.
We definitely have.
Yep. So one go is 180 milliliters. And the word for one in Japan is ichi. Just like, oh, I'm scratching, I'm itchy. So ichigo. Ichigo, and that's just G-O. Ichigo means one 180 milliliter serving. So if you have a few people around the table, sometimes they might say, karakuchi nihonshu onegai shimasu nigo. And that means two servings. So they'll bring you a larger carafe. So you can say one go, two go, three go. And it's a way that many izakaya and restaurants would bring the sake to you in a carafe with a glass on the side. So it's important to know this word go, and either one, two, three, or four go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll enjoy all your go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully the night will go well.
Ah. Oh, okay.
Well, John, what about temperature? Because I know that's a big thing that people worry about. How do I ask for cold sake or hot sake if I want that?
Well, I think that most of the time in Japan, you're going to be getting cold sake if you're leaving it out there.
If you don't say, you're probably going to get cold.
You're probably going to get cold sake. If you specifically are requesting warm sake, Okan de.
So you want to say Okan de onegai shimasu. That means served warm, please.
Mm.
So you can tell them karakuchi suki okan de onegai shimasu. So all these little building blocks you can put together in these sake-specific sentences. This is excellent.
Yes.
And then there's also cold. If you want to ask for cold specifically, you can say reishu de.
Mm.
Rei like the rays of the sun, and shu like the shoe on your foot, and de. So reishu de, that means served chilled. So reishu de onegai shimasu.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like chilled sake. So those two are really important and can help you get the sake you want. Okan de or reishu de.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's two other words we talked about that are really important for being in a restaurant or an izakaya or a sake bar. In Japan, usually the waiters don't come over to you until you scream something.
Yes.
What's that word?
Sumimasen!
Yes.
And I say that very loudly because I want you to feel confident in saying it loudly yourself.
Yes. It's for Americans, it's shocking.
Yeah,
when it's really difficult. They scream "sumimasen," and it's a way to hearken the server to come over to you, and it's very common in Japanese restaurants when you're ready to order.
Yeah,
and if you need something, you can also scream that out. Like if you want more water, or you're ready to order your second round, or something like that. So mm-hmm. "sumimasen" is a really important word.
Right. So you're not going to scream out the order.
No.
Scream out sumimasen. And they're going to come over and then you're going to politely give the order.
Yeah. And when we've enjoyed our sake and we're on our way out of the restaurant, there's just like onegai shimasu is a must-know polite word. When you leave a restaurant or anyone who's served you food and your parting ways, you have to say gochisousama deshita. It's a big, long word. Oof. Let's break it down.
That makes onegaishimasu sound positively simple.
Gochisousama deshita. Gochisousama deshita.
Gochisousama deshita.
Gochisousama deshita. And it means thank you for the feast. And it's something you say when you're leaving a restaurant, and it is very polite, and you will warm the bar owner's heart or the izakaya server's heart. If you say that on the way out as a foreigner in Japan, they will think that's fantastic that you took the time to learn that word. That is so polite in Japan and just such a lovely way to end your interaction at a sake bar.
All right.
Yeah. Well, all this talking about sake has gotten me very thirsty, Mr. Puma.
I am parched.
Well, we can't have a Sake Revolution episode without a little tasting. So what are we going to taste today?
So today, Tim, we have the Kiku Masamune Kojo Junmai. And so this is, again, a Junmai. The rice is polished down to 70% of its original size. The sake meter value is a -2. So just on the little bit on the sweeter side, but barely.
Well, yeah, we're going to look out for that when we taste it.
Yeah. Acidity is 1.6, and the alcohol by volume is 15%. Kikumasumune is in Hyogo Prefecture.
Yes, and this brewery is super famous in Japan. Kikumasumune is kind of the definition of old school. And they were founded in 1659, another really old brewery.
Yeah.
And we're not tasting it today, but Kikumasamune is really famous for taru sake. Remember,
yeah,
we had the cedar age sake?
Mm-hmm.
So this brewery is really well known for that. But we're going to taste their Junmai. So let's go ahead and get this in the glass.
Sure. Yeah, when you mentioned Kikumasamune for this episode, Tim, I had to double take because the first thing in my mind was, wait a minute, aren't they the taru guys?
Okay, so this is a Junmai from Hyogo.
Okay.
Okay, John. I'm going back to a classic aroma profile for us.
What's that?
Circus peanuts. Smell
yeah.
it.
A little bit. I got a little rice as well.
Mm,
but I know what you
definitely,
mean.
Yeah.
Rice and some sweetness. This is crystal clear from a transparency standpoint. Very, very clean looking.
No hint of color.
Yeah.
All right. So a little bit ricey on the aroma, but there is that
sweetness
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's give it a taste. Wow. That has a lot more umami than I was expecting.
Yeah.
It's like earthy.
It's earthy, but there is that sweetness there from the nose. It's still hanging around.
Yeah.
And the rice is also present. There's a lot going on here. This is not a simple mariaka sake.
Oh, yeah. Let's use our words.
Yes. Use your words, Tim.
Use your words. So this is Kikumasamune.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this has some umami. And it is not fruity.
No. Oh, it is not. I know that the sake meter value indicates it might be amakuchi, but really not so much.
Yeah, that's something that's really important to think about. When we mention the sake meter value, the Nihon Shudo every week, when it's a minus or when it's a plus, that's just a general guideline, and there's other things that can really affect our perception of dryness and sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't go exclusively by that number. I always recommend to just, keep it in the back of your mind, but the closer you are to zero, the less useful this sake meter value is going to be for you.
Exactly.
And this is such an interesting case of that, where it says minus something, you think, oh, there might be sweetness, but it's just a hint, and it's really more rice and umami driven on the palate.
Yeah. Just like you said, it's not that useful unless it's in an extreme.
Yep. So would you ask for this Kikumasamune sake? Would you ask for it Okan Day or Reishu Day?
I'm currently having it Reishu Day, but I think I might want to try this Okan Day and see what happens to it. With this much umami and this much rice, it seems like it would be a good candidate for such a experiment.
Good call. Good call, Puma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also want to say that this sake is very smooth and a really interesting depth of flavor.
It's a lot going on, and it's a pleasant journey to towards experiencing it all. It's got a lot of depth. It's got a lot of a lot going on in there.
Yeah, and I think for me, now that it's the winter season, a type of sake like this is going to pair really well with foods you might eat in the winter, like nabe hot pot or stews or casseroles, things that are richer.
I can see that. So, Tim, we went through some very light but really, really useful vocabulary. I mean, these are things that you and I have used in the field. We have tested these phrases out and have had really great experiences with them, a lot of good success.
We've learned the hard way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So these words I think are going to be really helpful to our listeners. And I want to remind everyone, if you want a cheat sheet of Sake Revolution's most important sake vocabulary in Japanese, You have to visit our website, sakerevolution.com, and you can download it there for free and take that with you on your next trip to Japan.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be a good time.
All right. Well, this was fun, John. I had a lot of fun reminiscing with you about our sake adventures in Japan, thinking back to all our times learning Japanese at sake bars and picking up vocabulary piece by piece. And it's just such good memories. So thank you for that. And I really want to thank our listeners as well for tuning in. We really do hope that you're enjoying our show. Now, if you would like to show your support for Sake Revolution, the best way to support us would be to join our community on Patreon. We are a listener-supported show, and all of the support we receive from Patreon goes to hosting, editing, and producing our show every week.
That's right. And if you'd like to become a patron, the place you're going to do that is over at patreon.com/sakerevolution. There's also a link at sakerevolution.com. Other ways that you can help support the show, you're doing it right now. Listening to the show really does help us out. But more than that, please go out and tell your friends, let them get a listen, and then maybe subscribe. And maybe they'll tell some friends, and those friends will subscribe too. It's a whole thing, you'll see.
Yeah, spread the word.
Exactly. Right.
And as always, if you would like to learn more about any of the topics or sakes we talked about in today's episode, be sure to visit our website, sakerevolution.com, and there you can check out our show notes.
And if you have sake-related questions that you need answered, if you think that we missed some critical language for survival Japanese in the sake bar, please reach out to us. The email address is feedback@sakerevolution.com. So until next time, please raise your glass. And all together, let's use the first bit of survival sake Japanese we ever learned on this show. Kanpai! Kanpai.